listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We're back again with another great session. This is Session 5, The Pitfall of Bitterness, and it is part of the study, How to Avoid Life's Pitfalls. You know, the actions of others sometimes can make us bitter. Let's just face it, it happens. Sometimes it makes us so bitter that we just can't come out of it. But we have to let it go and we have to forgive. Forgiveness is very difficult because the memory of the hurt continues to pull us back into bitterness. But the Bible gives us an example on how to move past bitterness in the life of Joseph. So in Genesis 45 is the chapter we're in today. We're looking at verses 1 through 5 and then 9 through 11.
All right, so our point today is relationships can only move forward with forgiveness. And so let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of his attendants. So he called out, "Send everyone away from me." No one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. And so as we think about this, we have to raise the question, how can we prevent bitterness in a relationship? Number one, embrace your pain. Embrace your pain. So Joseph had lived in this painful time and experience, the pain of being rejected by his brothers and thrown in a pit, the pain of being falsely accused by Sister Potiphar and put in prison, the pain of being forgotten by the cupbearer to the king and left in prison. And so Joseph could have simply let all of that pain and bitterness build up inside him. If you don't do something with all of that pain, it will turn into a bitter spirit. And so a lot of times people, do just that. They don't deal with their pain. They don't own their pain. They don't embrace their pain. Sometimes they just think like that commercial, "I haven't got time for the pain." And so you got to be honest with yourself and honest about what you really feel inside. Allow yourself to feel what's going on, to feel your real heart and your real disappointment and your real hurt and your real rejection, and feel it, embrace your pain. That's what Joseph did. It says that when he gets to chapter 45, so Joseph's brothers were up in Canaan. The famine had impacted them. And so they came down to Egypt because they heard that there was food in Egypt. And when they get down to Canaan, Joseph recognizes them as his brothers, but they don't recognize him. And so finally, with a lot of other circumstances, now we get to chapter 45, And Joseph just can't stand it anymore. He sends everybody out of the room and reveals who he is. Hey, look, I'm your brother, Joseph. And then he, all of this anxiety and bitterness and hurt and pain starts pouring out of his life, and he cries. And he cries so loud that the people outside the room could hear him wailing and crying over all of this stuff. And so sometimes people would say, maybe it's not manly to cry. Well, you got to remember that's not true. But Joseph cried, Jesus cried, right? And Jesus ought to be our greatest example of what it really means to be a man. And so it's okay to embrace what you are going through. God gave us these emotions. God gave us these feelings. And so own your feelings and embrace your pain. You can't be healed from it if you're just going to act like it doesn't exist. So embrace your own pain, whatever it is. You know, if you've been rejected, if you've been cheated on, if you've been stabbed in the back, right? If you've been fired from your job, if you've been maligned in some other kind of way, hey, embrace it. Everything we go through is not good. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you got to smile and enjoy everything. The Bible never says enjoy suffering. It never says that. Maybe it says we ought to experience God's joy in suffering, but there's a difference between having joy in the time of suffering and enjoying the suffering. Enjoying suffering is sadistic, and God never calls us to that. Embrace your pain. What are you thinking about, Christina?
And you know, Mark, you said something important there that we have to let this out so that we can be healed by it. And that is so true. That's what psychiatrists try to work us through when we are under their care. They want us to let things out, to release things so that we can receive healing. And here we see that Joseph is doing that. And I'm sure this is part of God's plan as well. We talked about God's plan in his life. He needed to be free of all of that was pent up inside of him for so many years. And I believe that's the reason it was so loud and so forceful, it seems, there, that he cried deeply because all of that was pent up inside of him, and the sight of his brothers caused it to come rushing out. So this was a great healing moment for Joseph. This was a time when God could take him forward, continue to use him now, not only in Egypt, but we'll see his hand in Israel and in the life of his brothers.
So, yeah, so there's a lot that's in the Word of God that will help us to have good mental health. And so, so we embrace the idea of psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors. We, all of them are good, but the regular practice of what's in the Word of God might help us to not need them as much. Right. So Joseph does this. Joseph embraces his side, but there are two sides to this thing. And his brothers are not embracing their side. And so this is just a reminder that you can't always control everybody else in the circumstance. And you can't control everybody else's response and how everybody else will feel and how everybody else will go through it. The only one you have control over is you. And so Joseph took his part and embraced his pain. And that was what allowed him to move to step number two. in verses 4-5, and that is to forgive freely. Let me read that passage. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life." So here, Joseph had the opportunity to make an assessment now, after having gone through all of these years of trouble, 17 and a half years before he got into the palace. And now, remember, there have been, on top of that 17 and a half, there have been 7 years of famine and then another 7 years of plenty. So that's another 14 years, right? So 14 plus 17 is 31 and a half years. So I got that right? 31 and a half. That's a long time. Where were you 31 years ago? Come on now. For 31 years. And so Joseph could have held on to all of this stuff all of this time. Some of you have been holding on to stuff 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. Joseph could have allowed these last 31 years to be 31 years of bitterness. Huh? Why be miserable all your life? And so Joseph, instead of living a miserable life, you only get one chance to live your life. And so why look on back on 31 years of misery and bitterness and a spirit filled with hate and trying to get even and all this stuff? No. Joseph had already dealt with this stuff with his brothers, because that's what helped allow him to continue to be fruitful and to continue to rise in every circumstance. Mm. And so you got to learn to forgive people. Somebody did something to you. Maybe they didn't throw you into a pit, but maybe somebody did something to you you're still holding on to today, and you need to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And forgive freely. Freely forgive, right? What does the Lord's Prayer say? Forgive us our debts or trespasses or sins, whichever version you use, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive. Learn to forgive. It's like breathing. It's like taking a breath. And so Joseph knew this spiritual act of forgiveness. Even Jesus, remember, hanging on the cross in the process of being tortured and crucified. And yet in the middle of it, he stops and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If Jesus could forgive, he's our example, right? If he could forgive while hanging on the cross, not after he got off the cross and all the wounds are healed and everything is better. No, if he can forgive while they are in the process of crucifying him, he is our example. And so what is it that's going on in your life today? Or what is it that's gone on in your life some time ago that you're still holding on to? Forgive, 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 forgive.
Amen.
What are you thinking, amen, Christina?
I'm saying amen, amen, amen. That is so powerful, Mark. You know, Jesus did forgive us when he was hanging on the cross, but he forgave us of our sins so that we could spend eternity with him. So if he can do that, yes, indeed, we can forgive. But you know, sometimes we do one or the other when someone has sinned against us. We may be tempted to pretend that the offense never happened, or we may be tempted to fail to see the overarching hand of God in any circumstance. But Joseph here, we see that he realized that God ruled his life, not his brothers, not good men, not evil men, not circumstances, none of that. Joseph realized that God was in control. And so when God is in control, all things work together for good. You said that in previous lessons, that Romans 8:28, God is in control. So we should forgive. That's what God wants us to do. He is in control.
All right. So a bitter spirit is a terrible thing to have to live with. And I've known some people in my life that have lived with that kind of bitterness. And you just knew, you know, they might lash out at you, but you knew they weren't really lashing out at you. They're just bitter. You know, the hurt has calcified in their spirit, become hardened. And so then they live with this bitterness. And so that's a terrible way to live. I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy life and I want to enjoy every day. And so you can't do that if you have the weight of bitterness on your shoulders. Yes. And so you have to embrace your pain, forgive freely, and then seek the best for others, even those who have been the ones who did you wrong. Come on. So it's not about getting even. Seek the best. So let me read verses 9 through 11. Return quickly to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph said. God has made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me. You and your children and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. There I will sustain you, for there will be five more years of famine. Otherwise, you, your household, and everything you have will become destitute. And so now, you know, he says, look, God has already shown us 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Apparently, they've only gone through 2 years of famine by this time. And so he says, we got five more years of this going on. And God put me here. He's reflecting back on his life now. He's reflecting back on how I've come through down a bad road, but I can see the reason why I'm at where I am right now. He said, God put me here so that I can sustain you. And so now he wants to be a blessing to his father and to his family. And so he is seeking the best for others. Don't somebody did you wrong. Don't be wishing that some bad thing will happen to them, right? You did me wrong. What's Sealy says in The Color Purple, you know, whatever you did is going to come back to you, right? No, that's not our way. That's not the Christian way. We want to try to do the best for others. Do good. This is what Jesus said. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Come on now. So that's the Christian way. And so seek the best. That's what we see in the life of Joseph. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, so I'm looking at this through Jacob, through the eyes of Jacob. You know, we don't read that here, but I can just imagine what he felt knowing that his son was not dead, knowing that he was alive. It reminds me of the prodigal son. You know, the father rejoiced when he saw the son coming back. And so I can imagine that Jacob had that same attitude. It was probably one of the greatest days of his life that his favorite son was alive and he would get to see him again.
All right. So that's great. That's great. What a needed lesson for these days that we live in right now, because I think we got a lot of people who are just growing this heart and seed of bitterness inside. You need to let this stuff go. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 is our memory verse for today. And it says, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of, listen to this, bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And so, no, don't make a bad situation worse. Come on now. So when we hold on to things and allow bitterness to grow in our lives, we just make a bad situation worse. No, let's enjoy the time we have left, and let's enjoy the days that are before us. And so let's embrace our pain, forgive freely, and then seek the best for others. That's the way that you know you've really gotten over this stuff, when you start seeking the best for those who have done you wrong. All right, so what a great lesson. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christine is going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. But I want to remind each and every one of you all to get your copy of the You Bible Study. It is available at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is urban cultural forward Bible study material. It comes in paper and digital formats. It has a teacher guide in the back of the book to make it easy for the teacher, to make it easy for training new leaders, and a daily devotional pages for each and every one of us, so we can stay in the Word. There's a beautiful leaders pack that one you can get, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. So don't miss out on this. All right, Christina, give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is another different one, another unusual one. Select a different reader. You know, this story about Joseph is familiar to a lot of us. So sometimes when we're reading familiar passages, we tend to glance over the text, and sometimes we don't get the understanding that we need. So I'm encouraging you here to mix things up a little bit and do something different. Consider using a Bible app like YouVersion. That's a popular one, YouVersion. And this Bible app will actually read the session passage for you. Play the sessions for this, play the passages for this session during the class time. And this way, you and the learners, especially the learners, will listen more carefully and slowly. So in other words, you're listening to someone else read this electronically, so that you can listen clearly and listen carefully to what is being said.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So come on, don't take a bitter pill on this one. You make sure that you practice the principles in this lesson before you get to teach it. Come on, so that you can have your own testimony of how God has allowed the bitterness of your days to become sweet. So, friend, join us again for another You podcast, because you never know where God will take you.